You know, it kind of occurs to me that there are many things about being a mum that are pretty challenging. In actual fact, there are many things about being a parent that is pretty challenging, whether you're mum or dad. There's the multi-skilling that's necessary. You have to be a cook, a nurse, a cleaner. You have to be a teacher who can always find an answer to the question, why? 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 And if you've got more than one child, you also have to be a top-level diplomat come international peacekeeping force. And frequently, you have to do several of those at once. Which, of course, is why mums score so highly on multitasking. We know women are supposed to be better at multitasking than men are. I think it's because mums just have to do it. And kind of dads just kind of, they do one thing at a time. But there's one thing about being a parent which I actually think is more challenging than any of those. And it is, your children imitate you. I suspect every parent will have had the kind of experience. You're just about to tell your child off for doing something, and suddenly it dawns on you. They were just copying one of your bad habits. I remember when I was young, if my sister and I were exasperating my mum, which did happen occasionally, mum would eventually say, oh, shut up, do. So one day, when my dad was exasperating me, I said, oh, shut up, do. His response did pain me somewhat. It pained me in a very literal manner in the backside, I can assure you. But it also pained me because I was only doing what my mum did. It kind of happens subconsciously. Children imitate their parents. When I'm doing baptism prep, it's something I always tell parents. If your child sees that church is important for you, it will be important for them. If they see that church is unimportant for you, it'll be unimportant for them. Whether we like it or not, children imitate grown-ups. Parents are role models for children. And that has to be the scariest thing about being a parent. But Jesus, as he so often did, actually turned that upside down. Jesus said that children are role models for parents. We're going to find out about that, but let's turn, before we do, to our Bible reading. Ian's going to come and read for us.
Our Bible reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, starting at verse 13. Chapter 10, verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all of these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked round and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. the disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the word of the Lord.
So there we had 4 groups of people or people. Some parents, a rich man, some children, some disciples. And it's actually the children that are the key to the whole of that passage. But first, there are the parents. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. It's actually a passage I use regularly when we have a service of thanksgiving for the birth of a child, because what those parents were doing was just so significant. I said earlier, being a parent is hugely challenging. I think every parent wants what is best for their child. We want to do the things that will be best. We want our child to grow up safe and secure and happy and fulfilled. And yet at the same time, I guess we're aware that the things we want for our children are so often the things that are most precarious in life. And these parents were aware of that. So they brought their little ones to Jesus for him to bless them. They knew that for their children to grow up in the best way, they would need God's help. And that is still true. Being a parent is a big responsibility. There are just so many things that as parents we need to do. But the single most important thing any parent can do for their child is to help them to trust Jesus for themselves. Bringing them here, helping them to be part of the church family. Nothing is more important than that. I just know that there are so many things competing for our time on Sunday mornings, but none of them is as important as this. And if you're not a parent and you're now at the grandparent stage or something like that, you need to be praying for your grandchildren. We need to be praying for our children. But when you pray, what is the most important thing to be praying for? That they will come to know Jesus. It's the most important thing. So I think these parents really had got it right. They were doing just the right thing. Next, there were the children. And the children, of course, did absolutely nothing. They were brought. Jesus blesses them. That's it. The children don't play any active part in this story whatsoever. Third, there's the rich man. It says in verse 22 that he had great wealth. And he was a good man. When Jesus said, "You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." This guy could reply, "All these I've kept since I was a boy." He had wealth. And he just had that kind of innate goodness, that integrity, that sort of something about him. If you add to that, if you read about him in Matthew's gospel, you find that he was also young. He had just about everything that our society deems to be important in life. Wealth, goodness. The only other thing that's generally reckoned to be vital is good health. It doesn't say anything about that, but Mark did say he ran up to Jesus, so he was presumably super fit as well. And this guy asks the big question. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And if you stop and think about it, he's such a strange person to be asking that question. We've just seen that compared to most of the people around him, this was a very good, respectable, upright man. by and large, the Jews of Jesus' day believed that while salvation was in the first place a gift of God to all his people, it was necessary to live in the right way, obeying the law, if you weren't to lose that salvation. So for this young man to be able to say in response to the commandments Jesus listed, all these I've kept, he was somebody who was doing the right thing. He was a good guy. I mean, let's face it, given a list like that, how many of us could actually say, all these I have kept? And yet, somehow, he thinks there's something missing. There's something else he must need to do. So what does Jesus say? One thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And for the young man, that was a shock. He knew that he needed to do something to get eternal life, but this was just too extreme. To give away all his wealth? He couldn't do it. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Just one other group of people in the story, the disciples. And I don't know if you noticed, they didn't get off to a very good start. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. As it happened so often, the disciples hadn't understood Jesus' priorities. They hadn't understood that Jesus was more than happy to have these little ones brought to him. And the disciples still weren't understanding Jesus a bit later. When, after the rich young man went away, Jesus said to them, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And that would have blown them away, because it was generally accepted that wealth was a sign of God's blessing. In Deuteronomy 28, just before the Israelites entered the promised land, God told them that if they obeyed him, they would be blessed. From that, they kind of worked backwards and thought that if somebody was wealthy, God must be blessing them. If God's blessing them, they must be good and pleasing God. So the fact that this guy was wealthy just tied in with the fact that he was good. If this guy was in that position, what hope could there be for anyone else? The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? So we have parents who brought their children to Jesus. We have a rich man who went away sad. We've got disciples who are struggling to understand what Jesus was on about. Yeah, or they're all kind of doing something. So how come I said earlier that it's actually the children who we've already seen do nothing that are actually the key to the story? Let's go back to those parents. They bring their children to Jesus. And after ticking the disciples off, Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. What did Jesus mean? What does it mean to receive the kingdom like a little child? Today, of course, children are very important in our society. But in Jesus' time, it was so different. Children in Jesus' time had no rights whatsoever. Children certainly would not have been welcomed when the grown-ups were together. Really, when the disciples tried to send them away, the disciples were doing what everybody else would have done. Children, you just don't belong here. And then Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Jesus wanted the children to come to him, not just because he cared about children, but because they were a visual aid of what it meant to enter the kingdom of God. And I think it works in several ways. Children are naturally trusting. A young child instinctively trusts their parents. And that's just how we should be with God. Totally dependent on him. A child depends on their parents' love. You know, just see a child run and throw themselves into their parents' arms. That's how we should be with God. But I actually think Jesus was trying to make a different point. You see, as I said, in Jesus' time, children had absolutely no rights. And you see, that's the thing with entering the kingdom of God or becoming a Christian. You have absolutely no right to be accepted by God. You can do nothing to make him love you. In fact, I guess most of us, if we're realistic about ourselves, must recognize that when it comes to the way we deal with God, mostly we're like a child deep in the terrible twos. But Jesus says, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And that was where the rich man had his problem. When Jesus told the young man that he had to give away all his money, I don't for one moment think that Jesus meant that everyone throughout history who wanted to follow him would have to give away all their money. I think what was happening was Jesus was targeting the thing that this guy was actually trusting for his security. The thing which gave this man his sense of significance and self-worth. The thing that made him important in the eyes of others. The thing that kind of established him and his position in society. And Jesus says, you want eternal life? Get rid of all of it. End up being like a child. With no rights, no claim on anybody, and then just trust Jesus. And he wouldn't do it. He'd have been happy to follow Jesus. He'd have been happy to listen to Jesus. He was clearly impressed with Jesus. But when it came to becoming like a child, to lose everything that gave him status and position and made him important and significant, couldn't do it. It's a tough thing, isn't it? To admit that you have no right to God's love and just to trust him. It is actually very humbling. Very humbling to realize that when it comes to your dealings with God, you've got no claim on his love at all. You don't deserve anything from him. You're a nobody. It's even more humbling when you realize that the whole Christian life works out like that. In the kingdom of God, you will always be a child. In the Christian life, you know, the way into the Christian life is the way you carry on in the Christian life. It's all down to God's grace. It's actually what we saw just a few weeks ago at the start of this series, when Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Interesting, isn't it? The rich man started off thinking that he had to do something to earn eternal life. But when he discovered that he couldn't earn it, that he had to get rid of everything that might earn it, everything he was depending on, he wasn't willing to do it. He wasn't willing to deny himself in that way. No way was he going to become like a little child. And maybe you feel the same. Why do that? Why become like a child in that way? Then Peter spoke up. We've left everything to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who's left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. You see, the thing with becoming a Christian, becoming a disciple, is you have to allow Jesus to strip you of everything so that he can actually replace those things with something better. but allowing him to strip all that away, allowing him to tear away the idols in our lives. That's tough, particularly when the idol that most of us have in our lives is actually ourselves. But it's only when we're prepared to throw that lot away that Jesus can replace it with something infinitely better. Children always will imitate their parents. But today, are you ready to imitate a child? Because that's the way to eternal life. Life at its best now, life forever.